It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Boston's home for sports is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Paisley Media Group Station.
Down 0-2. Celtics will be at, as close to full strength as they can be for Game 3 tonight against the Brooklyn Nets in this first-round series. Kemba Walker upgraded from questionable to available as he has been battling left knee medial bone bruise. So you got Kemba Walker playing tonight and Jason Tatum as well, who said yesterday he should be good to go after getting poked in the right eye and leaving Game 2. Tip-off is at 8:30, pregame at 8. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, they have your call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. A couple of other NBA playoff games tonight with the Hawks and Knicks tied at a game apiece, playing Game 3 in Atlanta. And then later tonight, the Mavericks will look to take a 3-0 series lead on the Clippers as that series now resumes in Dallas. Milwaukee Bucks starting guard Dante DiVincenzo is going to miss the rest of the NBA playoffs with a torn ligament in his left ankle. He suffered the injury in the second quarter of Thursday's 113-84 win over the Miami Heat. Red Sox back in action after a night off yesterday. They split the two-game series with the Braves. They continue interleague play, starting up a three-game series with the Miami Marlins at Fenway Park. Martin Perez on the mound for the Sox. Miami counters with Cody Poteet. First pitch, weather permitting, is just about an hour, 7:10. Bruins and Islanders, game one of their second-round series, the Garden, tomorrow night at 8. And tonight you have a game 7 between the Vegas Golden Knights and Minnesota Wild with puck drop in Las Vegas at 9 p.m. Headlines are brought to you by Window World, the official replacement windows of the Boston Red Sox. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Matt McCarthy has you next at 6:30.
All the trolls come out at night.
Right, forgot about that. Shame on me.
It's Adam Jones.
And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers and Window World.
A Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, we talked about it 4 days ago. It was very hard. It was getting hard to get him.
With Sale, you talked about how he's, you're going to be careful, you're going to be deliberate with him. Are you still, are you talking with him about the idea of him pitching in big league games again this season?
Yes.
Is that an active conversation with him?
We believe he's going to contribute this year. We believe that he's going to contribute this year. And I know he wants to do that too.
Okay, there you go. That is Alex Cora again talking about Chris Sale earlier in the week and the expectation that he will pitch and he will contribute for the Red Sox this season in 2021. So that's where we're going to start on this Friday. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Hour. I am broadcasting to you from Hurricanes at TD Garden down here on Canal Street. You're getting ready for the Celtics facing the Nets over at the TD Garden. So Felger Maz was here this afternoon. And back at our studio in Dorchester is Matt McCarthy, who joins us every Friday. So, Matt, let me start here, because I think this is all connected. And frankly, I thought this was the biggest news item on the Red Sox this week, which is to say that you heard Alex Cora there say we expect Chris Sale to contribute. That's what Chris Sale expects. And so you tell me, is that wishful thinking on the part of the Red Sox, or are they right to do that?
Well, not only is it the most important news item of the week, Maz, it's the most important news item for the Boston Red Sox in 2021. If Chris Sale comes back, and that's a big if, well, then now we might be cooking with gas a little bit. Here's the problem, though. I don't want the Red Sox to count on him. So I do think it's a little bit of wishful thinking, Maz. I think they need to proceed as if Chris Sale is not going to be available. We see that, you know, coming back from Tommy John can be difficult. Noah Syndergaard got shut down for the Mets earlier on this week. They were counting on him. I don't want the Red Sox to count on him. Anything you get from Chris Sale, Maz, is going to be gravy. And if you get something, well, that's great. That might, you know, separate you from just about everybody else in the American League at this point, given they're right in the mix, or at least in the American League East. But let's not count on it. Let's not count our chickens before they hatch.
Okay, so look, Sale relates directly to the trade deadline. And again, if you want to talk baseball here, you have us for the next hour. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock, and I think we're going to have pretty much our shows the rest of the way now. And when I say the rest of the way, the rest of the baseball season, because the Bruins are in the second round. I don't think we're getting any more early starts with them. The Celtics, I don't think, are going to be around by the time we get to Monday, and even then, they're not going to give us any early starts. So you'll get a full baseball hour here every night from 6 to 7 on the Sports Hub, and we do have a bunch of things to get to, but we're starting here tonight. Again, that is Chris Sale, his return to the Red Sox, and what they can expect out of him. And I'm eager to hear from fans on this, Matt, because I think people always set their expectations way, way too high. And I like your way of thinking a little bit better, which is to say expect very little. However, I have come to the conclusion that Chris Sale can make a significant contribution to this team, and we can get to that in a minute. But again, for those of you who want to call in and touch base on the Red Sox, 617-779-0985. So now when you say, Matt, when you say the Red Sox should not necessarily count on Sale, and again, I tend to agree with you, let me ask you this. What do you think is a realistic expectation for what he can give them? And let me ask you this part. How would you use him, Matt? How would you use Sale when he's ready to pitch in big league games?
If he can start, I want him starting games. But I don't know if that's necessarily realistic. So I think my more realistic target, Maz, is using him in an Andrew Miller type of role out of the bullpen, using him as a weapon out of the bullpen. But if you can stretch him out, you can start him. Maybe I'm just old school like that. If he can start, I want him starting. I wouldn't count on that. Again, I'm not counting on him being available, so I really want to set my expectations low on this.
Okay, so look, I've done some thinking about this, and I mentioned this the other day on the air, but I'm going to say it again because, you know, again, people jump in and out of their cars, and we haven't discussed it really in the earlier part of this show, so I think it's worth touching on again. Earlier in the week, and Matt, I don't know if you've heard it either. I suspect you have because you listen to and read everything. I was talking to Sean McAdam of the Boston Sports Journal, and I covered the team for a long time with Sean, and we got into the discussion about Sale and how to use him, and Sean brought up what I thought was an interesting scenario, which is similar to the one that you just brought up. Don't use him as a starter. Use him as a bulk reliever? Mm-hmm. In the middle of the game. And effectively what the Red Sox are doing right now with Garrett Whitlock. And so here's the way you got to look at it. If Sale comes back as a starting pitcher, the history on starting pitchers when they come back from Tommy John surgery is that they are not going to pitch well, or they're not going to pitch to their capability is a better way of putting it. So they're going to struggle for the first little bit, and they, you know, as they get reacclimated to the major leagues and as they fully build up arm strength, all of that. So the point is this. If you bring Chris Sale back, let's just say for the final 2 months, and he is starting, do you think the Red Sox are going to let him throw 100 pitches and go 7 innings, or is it going to be something less than that?
Oh, I can't imagine they would. No, I get what you're getting at here, and I like the way you're going on this.
So the point is, when you look at him relative to the rest of the guys they have in the rotation, when I say, are they going to let him go 7 innings, that's presuming he pitches well enough to stay in 7 innings and that he's pitching like an ace again. History has shown with the guys who have elbow surgery, who have the Tommy John surgery, they're not fully back to normal until 18 months. It's the second season, not the first season. So if Sale is going to come back and be compromised, and he's not going to be an ace, and it's the one thing they really lack in their starting rotation is an ace. They have a bunch of guys who are middle-of-the-rotation starters, but they don't have that guy who's going to go out and win a 2-1 game. And whether Sale comes back or not, Matt, they're still not going to have it this year because he's not going to be that guy. Again, based on history. And so, not his history, of the history of all Tommy John pitchers. So, if he's going to come back and just be what you already have, which is a bunch of guys who are middle to end of the rotation starters, and who is only going to go max probably five innings, maybe five and a third or two-thirds by the end of the year, call it six. If that's all he's going to be, why not just put him in the bullpen, get three innings out of him like you do a Whitlock, or earlier in the year I would say Matt Andrees when he was pitching a little bit better, and Andrees has hit the skids. But if I'm the Red Sox, this is now what I'm doing. I'm going to put Sale out there, and I'll pitch him twice a week for three innings. I'm going to put Whitlock out there, and by that point in the year, maybe the kid has some more confidence, believes he belongs, and I'll pitch him twice a week for three innings. And whether it's Andrees or someone at the deadline, I do the same thing with that guy. Because I think, and this relates to the deadline, and I know you have a thought on that as well, I think the Red Sox are not going to be making any sort of big deal here at this trade deadline. I'm not expecting it. I would love for it to happen. I want for it to happen. But I think it's a pipe dream. I don't think you're getting it. And so I think that the realistic play is to go out and get someone who's like another Nathan Eovaldi, who can pitch in the middle of the game in relief, who can probably give you five innings, and put him next to Chris Sale and Garrett Whitlock and Andrees in that bullpen and try to bridge the gap from your rotation to Matt Barnes at the end of the game. I think that's your best shot.
Oh, I'm in total agreement, Maz. And, you know, the thing I like about that is you don't have to give up a lot to get that type of pitcher. I mean, the Red Sox gave up Jalen Beeks, essentially, right, to get Nathan Eovaldi, if memory serves.
Correct.
You don't have to give up a lot. And I don't want the Red Sox giving up a lot, but that doesn't mean that you can't improve the team. And just how it, you know, relates to Sale here, Maz, I hope they don't view Sale as their big trade deadline acquisition. He very well may be. And if you put him in the bullpen, I think that increases the likelihood that you get something out of him, something impactful out of him down the stretch and hopefully into October. I just don't want them to count on him as, this is the guy we're getting at the deadline. That's it. We don't need to improve the team. Chris Sale is back. I think that's a little bit foolish.
Okay, so you're saying if they don't make a move and they use Sale as the pickup, that's weak.
I agree. I'm 100%. Okay. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think that would be a mistake, too, and I hope they're not going down that road. But I do think people are being, some people, Matt, some are being unrealistic as it pertains to the trade deadline and what the Red Sox are going to do there. Fans like to think big, and I don't blame you, I do too. I just think if you listen to Chaim Bloom and you read what he's saying and you read between the lines and you take into account his tone, the idea of a blockbuster deal is a fantasy. Okay, but we'll get to more of that in a minute. Let's take some of your calls. I see a number you lined up here already, 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Mike, who's in Linfield. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Maz. I was going to bring up what you guys brought up about him going to the bullpen. I think it's a great idea, and I think, if anything, if he starts out slowly, works his way up, I mean, he can get only better, right?
So, Mike, when you say in the bullpen, what's the role you're talking about?
I'm not thinking three innings. I'm thinking more like put him in for the maximum two, maybe put him in, start him in the sixth or seventh if they need him, and then if he gets progressively better, throw him in the eighth as a setup guy. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. This is where I think people are getting fooled into, you know, the traditional or older ways of doing things, and the game has changed, Matt, and I don't need to tell you that. So if Chris Sale's coming off of elbow surgery and you can only use him, let's say that after he pitches, and here's a better way to put it. Let's say after he pitches, he needs 3 days of rest. Mm-hmm. So if he pitches on Monday, you can't use him again till Friday. Or if he pitches on Tuesday, it's Saturday. You get the idea. Which, Matt, by the way, is basically what they're doing with Whitlock.
Exactly.
Okay, can we agree on that?
Oh, 100%. They're managing him almost like a starter, Maz.
Okay, so don't you have to do Sale the same way then? In other words, if you look at it and you say, I can only pitch Chris Sale once every 4 days, why am I only going to use him for one or two innings if I can only pitch him once every 4 days? I'm better off using him for three on the day he pitches, presuming he can go three and he doesn't get boxed around. But let him go as three. shut him down, give him his 3 days to recover, and then use him for another three. You can still use him for a maximum number of innings, even though you're using him only once every 4 days.
Well, the thing is here, Maz, you know, whether you're using him in more of a bulk role or whether they eventually get to the point where they're comfortable to say, you know what, he's going to be a late inning guy. We're going to use him like a more traditional late inning reliever. Anything you're getting from Chris Sale is greater than what you would get probably without Chris Sale. Assuming he's healthy enough to pitch, he's an upgrade over the vast majority of, you know, options that they have in that bullpen right now. I think the scenario that you're putting forward is likely more realistic and likely how you have to approach it. But if they get to October, I would hope at that point that if Chris Sale is pitching in a bulk role, that you could use him a little bit more aggressively on October, because if you get there, he's a weapon that you have, and I wanted them to use him like a weapon.
Yeah, so again, I'm not even talking about October yet. And you're not wrong to bring it up, Matt. I'm just saying, I'm talking about when they bring him back in the regular season. So the way we've been conditioned to think here, we say, well, someone gets the seventh, someone gets the eighth, someone gets the ninth. And maybe you can use him in the sixth and seventh, as the caller said, and then you work up to where he pitches the eighth. I'm saying if he's pitching well, give him the sixth, seventh, and eighth. Why do you have to only give him two? If he's only going to pitch once every 4 days, use him. Use him. Get him up. Get him in the bullpen. Get him loose. Get him in the game. Let him pitch his three innings. Shut him down. And that's how you're going to have to manage it. So the way people need to look at it is your starters are five-inning pitchers. Your closer is a stud. You've got to fill that three-inning gap. And over the course of baseball, long-term now, teams have broken that down. Well, we get a lefty specialist, we get a righty specialist, we get a primary setup man, and we get our closer. I think it's different now. When Houston started doing this, did it with Charlie Morton back in 2017.
Game-changing.
Yes, we're going to bring
Miller
in.
Miller, too, the year before against the Red Sox. Game-changing moments in baseball.
Right, and you know what those guys have in common with Chris Sale? They're starters. Mm-hmm. Andrew Miller was a starter. He came up as a starter, as did Charlie Morton. Obviously, he was a starter for the Astros that year. So keep him on a starter's routine, but instead of throwing 105 pitches, he's going to throw 45. And then you use him again. You don't have to give him 4 days rest between outings. You give him three. And so, again, this is it's a different way of thinking that the Rays have employed, other teams have employed. We're not used to it in this market, Matt, because the Red Sox have been a talented big payroll team that had starters that could go seven, and the traditional model was fine. But when you're from a place like Tampa, like High and Bloom is, or a smaller market, and you have to get creative, this is the way they do it now. So we've already gone over 617-779-0985 is your number here. We'll continue with your phone calls, and we'll get into the particulars of what the trade deadline could bring and how High and Bloom is approaching it when we come back here on the Baseball Hour.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Yeah.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs, to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, the Red Sox are sort of in an interesting spot because on the one hand, there's clearly been an organizational commitment to rebuilding from within, I think, which most people understand. And then at the same time, you've had a team that has been a little bit surprising here in the early part of the year, has been pretty competitive. And so people will look at that, people like myself, and say, well, the deadline's coming, now you got to add. And so how difficult is that a balance for you at the moment, given that at the same time you're trying to build the farm system, not take away from it?
Yeah, it's obviously going to be a difficult balance. I think to some degree, every year you're always weighing those two things. There's obviously last year was a year where it was very clear which side of the dial we were on. You know, most years I think are going to be a little more difficult. And I still think we have to keep our goal in mind of making sure that the biggest goal, I think the biggest obligation we have to our fans is to make sure we are as good as possible for as long as possible and to be able to get to the point where we can compete for a World Series every year and stay there. So that means that obviously all the future years matter, and that's why we're placing an emphasis on the farm system as we are. But 2021 also matters. So hopefully we're able to find things we can do that accomplish both goals.
So that's High and Bloom on the Baseball Hour podcast. That was a podcast-only version or edition. We did the interview with Bloom separately, no time constraints, just easier to do it in that setting, which was a terrific idea by our producer, Jimmy Stewart, and then we can play you parts of it here on the program. That was a couple of weeks ago, and High and Bloom also spoke again today about the trade deadline, and I'll tell you whether or not he changed his stance a little bit, or maybe he didn't when we get to that. But first, Matt, good with you here. We'll take a couple of calls.
I'm always for keeping the people happy, Mass.
Okay, Eric is in Plymouth on Chris Sale. Oops, I hit the wrong button here. So hang on 1 second, and I will we'll punch Eric up, and he's ready to go. So Eric, go ahead.
Hey, Mass. Yeah, I wanted to kind of just keep talking about your Chris Sale point, and you know, the San Diego Padres are kind of doing a similar thing, trying to get a pitcher back into the rotation, a good young pitcher, to Nelson Lamet. He had like 4-round tightness earlier in the year, and they basically piggybacked him with another good young pitcher, Ryan Weathers. Both guys come out, they pitch about 3 innings each. I mean, they basically, you know, put the two together to try to equal one full start. So, I mean, I think that's what you do with Sale. You pair him up with Whitlock, you try to get 6 innings out of them. Sale starts with maybe 2 innings per appearance, gets to 3. Then Nelson Lamet is starting tonight versus Houston, and maybe you can reach that point with Sale, where, you know, he has a few appearances going 2-3 innings, and then maybe eventually he can start, I don't know about this year, but you at least get it so he can come out and pitch maybe 4 or 5 innings for you.
Yeah, so Chris, look, I'm sorry, Eric, I think you get the right idea, but I don't want to use Sale in tandem with Whitlock. I want to use them separately to back up the whole rotation. So, and I, you know, I don't know whether you have a strong sentiment on that or not, Matt, but to me, the idea, look, everyone, and the reason I think this is worthy of discussion, because when the season started, what are they going to get from Sale? When's Sale coming back? Well, they'll be okay when he gets back. I don't think you can count on Chris Sale to be a starter at all this year. I think there's no chance of that, in fact. Or if there is, he's not going to be very good. I like this idea a lot better.
You know, as presently constructed, Maz, I agree. I would want to split up Sale and Whitlock, you know, in the context of this discussion. If we start getting injuries, though, in the starting rotation, then you have to maybe consider something like that. Because you've got currently 5 guys who are keeping you in the ballgame every single night. I mean, Rodriguez has been the worst of the 5, and you hope he turns it around. You get injuries, now all of a sudden, if we're talking about bringing up the Ryan Webbers of the world, guys like that, well, then, yeah, maybe you have to do something like that. But as presently constructed, keep Sale and Whitlock split up and use them as bulk guys on different nights.
Okay, and this does relate to the trade deadline. So let me ask you this quickly, Matt, because what are your expectations for what they can do with the deadline?
My expectations is what they can do and what they should do is add on the periphery and the edges of this roster, Maz, because you don't have to pillage your farm system to do that. You can trade from the depth of your farm system, say, you know, guys 15 through 30 on your top 30 list. You can add big league players for that. I mean, they did that with Steve Pierce in 2018. They did that with Bobby Kilty in 2007. You can add on the edges, you know, find some role players here and there, and then you go from there. I don't want them, you know, trading Christian Cassis or Jaron Duran or Jeter Downs or any guys like that. But you can add from the middle to the back end of your farm system, and you can get some big league role players. That's what they should do. It's what they must do. This team deserves it. And I hope Heim Bloom recognizes that, because maybe in Tampa Bay, you say we keep the 18th guy in our farm system because he's a lottery ticket, and, you know, we need lottery tickets here. It's different here in Boston. You don't need lottery tickets. You can always use your financial might later on. to add superstar players and high impact players. You trade the 18th guy in your system any single year if you've got a chance to compete.
Yeah, but Matt, I want him to go get Max Scherzer. I don't understand why you don't want Scherzer.
I mean, I want Scherzer if I'm getting him for the 18th guy, and you're not. So you just have to keep that in mind. They should look to build a sustainable product. You should not be trading Tristan Casas for anybody under the sun. I mean, unless it's, you know, Fernando Tatis, who's under contract. Not that, that would ever happen. You know what I mean, Maz. They can add on the edges of this roster. They can.
Yeah, so look, I say that, I mean, my expectations are similar to yours, but which is why I say to people, look, I think, don't get me wrong, I would love to see them go get Scherzer. In a normal year, I would pressure them to go get Scherzer. I just know that this year, it's no shot. So frankly, if you're out there and you think they're going to go with Max Scherzer, I think you're kind of being a jackass. I just don't think that they're – I don't think they're remotely at that level yet in terms of their development of their farm system. Let's go to Chris in Hartford on Sale and Tommy John surgery. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, hey, Matt. I had Tommy John surgery. Do you know what that – what they do, actually?
Yes, they do. They take a ligament – they take a tendon out of your wrist and put it in your elbow.
Well, in my case, they actually, it's the ulnary nerve that goes in the groove. It's kind of like your funny bone. They moved mine. So okay, they're just moving it. So my point is
They're not just moving it. What you're talking about is a different sort of thing. It's a nerve irritation. And so I let the caller go. It's a different thing. Like, there are guys who've had that, and they just move the nerve. Some guys have ligament damage, and they replace the ligament. So don't confuse the surgeries. Those are two different things. And look, again, the nerve issue in the elbow in a lot of ways can be worse, but it can be moved. And so I don't want to get into, I had Tommy John, I did this. Those are different surgeries. Okay, what Chris Sale had was a torn elbow ligament. He had a torn elbow ligament. They take the tendon out of the opposite wrist. At least that's how they initially started. So it might be a tendon from a different part of the body now. And they transplant it to your, in his case, tendon from the right wrist into replaces a ligament in the left elbow. That's how they do it. And so, and forgive me for jumping down that guy's throat, Matt.
I love it. Dr. Maserati here.
Look, again.
That classics degree from Tufts really coming through for you, man.
No, I'll tell you what it is. That if this is proof, by the way, because when it comes to learning, I have a slow absorption rate, Matt.
And me both. That's why I'm doing this, Maz. I'll tell you that.
So when I say slow absorption rate, I don't think that I'm necessarily a fast learner, but when I learn it, I learn, like, I generally keep it, okay? So a lot of people goes in one ear, out the other. It takes me a while to absorb it, but once I absorb it, it's usually there. And when you cover baseball for 15 years, and I'm not saying that as any sort of credential, I'm just telling you, you can't help but learn things. And so eventually you come across every rule in the rule book or every type of surgery that there is, and you learn how it's done and you learn what the differences are. So the nerve surgery is different. Scott Hatterberg had that, if you remember him. He was a catcher years ago.
I love Scott Hatterberg.
And it completely screwed up his arm. He was never the same. They had to move the nerve, and it didn't work. The Tommy John is a different thing. That's a replacement of the ligament in the elbow. Okay, that's a different thing. And so I want to read to you a comment, too, Chaim Bloom made today about the deadline to give you a more update. Again, he made that comment to me about the deadline a couple of weeks ago, and I think he's telling you point blank, don't expect any blockbusters. I think that that's pretty clear. But he did give a more recent interview here earlier in the day with our competitors. He was on the morning program there. I'll tell you exactly what he said. We'll continue with your phone calls and also talk about a big maneuver the Red Sox made earlier this week that has pissed off, or at least triggered, hit a nerve. How about that for segue? Hit a nerve with Matt McCarthy here in the last couple of days, all after your headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We have a good baseball team here. We have a complete baseball team here. And, you know, the thought process is we need him to get better. We need him to get at bats. And, you know, he showed up yesterday right away. I think he had 5 at bats yesterday. So he's going to continue to play every day down there. He played left, some right too. And, you know, I think that's going to benefit him in the long run.
That's Alex Cora at Fenway Park earlier today talking about Franchy Cordero, who has been sent to the minor leagues. Red Sox actually made the move yesterday, and they had not announced a corresponding move in terms of who they would add to the roster. They just did that, I guess, a short time ago. Colton Brewer, right-handed reliever. You remember him, master of the spin rate.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got that RPM like you wouldn't believe. He spins it, Maz, like you would. Now, the rocket rate, which is a Matt McCarthy stat, high rocket rate, because every time batters hit him, I mean, it's a rocket every single time. His rocket rate is up there, too, in the league. I guess that would probably be exit velocity. I mean, Franchy Cordero-like exit velocity every time somebody makes contact off Colton Brewer, which is all the time.
So... I like that rocket rate. So we're going to keep that, Jimmy. Make sure we have that somewhere. So the
I guess he has a league high a rocket rate. And, yeah.
So Matt, when you hear the Red Sox talk about Franchy Cordero going down to the minor leagues, it's impossible to not look at the Andrew Benintendi deal. And there are still 3 players to be named in this deal. There's already a pitcher in the minors, Josh Winkowski, whom the Red Sox got from the Mets. 3 players to be named who I think are going to be identified in the next few weeks. So are we wrong at this point to already want to judge the Franchy Cordero trade?
No.
Or do we have to wait for those players to be named?
I mean, I guess it can be a little bit of both, Maz. We got to do a show tonight, so we got to judge the trade right now. And what they got at this point here was a player who is not a big league player for a league average outfielder. And I think, you know, the Bloom defenders out there, Tony, you know, they're so quick to say, well, Andrew Benintendi isn't a special player. You're right. He's not a special player. But you need a league average outfield, you know, and you don't have that right now. So if you have a league average outfielder on a team that is going to be competing for a playoff spot and is likely going to, you know, have their season come down to, Naz, I think probably a game or two. A game or two could determine whether or not the Red Sox go to the playoffs or not. Of course we should criticize the Andrew Benintendi trade, because if you have a league average outfielder that helps you win an extra game or two, you might be in the playoffs instead of not being in the playoffs. Like, that's what it could come down to here.
Yeah, I'll tell you, in the short term, this thing's going to be a loss. Major.
Yes.
It's going to be a major loss in the short term for the reasons you just said. And here's the other thing. And again, I think the world of Alex Cora you know, I hope to have him on the program more going forward. So I just want to be transparent with people. I'm not going to completely rip Cora's nuts off. And I understand the organization has, you know, they have their own stories and agendas to spin. But when he says Franchy Cordero has to go back down to the minor leagues and get some at-bats and it's going to serve him in the long run, this guy's not 21.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about a kid. He's going to be 27 in a few months. He's going to be 27 in September. When the season ends, he's going to be 27 years old. This is not a guy who is, you know, that is still developing as a player. And you know what? That's not fair to him either. Everyone is still developing. I'm just saying that it's getting kind of late in the game.
Oh, without a doubt.
So Franchy Cordero is who he is, and this idea that, you know, he's going to help him 3 years down the road. What, when he's 30?
Maz, like you're never going to see this guy again.
That's what I think, too. I think that is, I mean, if they have an injury or something, yeah. I think there's that chance. But, I think this guy was the 5th player in the deal, and he played like it. He played like it. Our buddy Tony is in Stoneham. Good, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, before I
we
get
are,
out of
the Tony, are we interrupting dinner? Is that what we're doing?
Well, I'm having my pasta with shrimp scampi.
Anyway, there you go.
Anyway, before we get into baseball, I want to give you a news alert. Maxwell was on Early Edition and said Tatum denies any racist feelings at all while he's been in Boston. That being said, on Sale, you got to determine when you can use him. You don't want to use him for three innings in a game that's down by three runs or something. So that you got to take into consideration, too. Also, now, what you've talked about, because you're the baseball expert in Boston, you talked about two things on your regular show with Foga. You talked about the velocity. Well, that's just like everything that's happened in sports. As the years go by, people get stronger, they get and whatever. That's why you get a lot of pitchers. They're bigger, and they're throwing 96, 97. And as far as the other thing that we were – oh, what the hell was the other thing we were talking about in baseball? You know, the hit batsman. It's come out that the batters are on to the low and outside pitch, so now pitchers are pitching inside, and that's why you get more hit batsmen.
Yeah, so Tony, I don't think that's it. I think these guys can't control the ball.
I agree.
They can't command the ball. And like anything else, when you start throwing at max velocity the whole time, and that's what they want, you know what happens? You sacrifice command and control. So it's a normal thing. And again, Matt McCarthy, I'm telling you, anybody who plays golf, I always use a golf analogy because a lot of people play it and it's pretty simple. The harder you swing, the more your mechanics get out of whack.
That's why I only do half swings, Maz. I figured that out a while ago. Works out for me just great.
Which is why they always tell you, take a controlled swing, you know, swing easy, and you'll hit it farther. Because your body works in sync. Once you start throwing hard, you know, granted, the pitchers can muscle the ball to the plate, but you're going to get exactly what's happening now. So the other thing he said was about Chris Sale and, you know, what good is it if you put him on a schedule and you're losing the game by three runs? And I would tell you, it isn't any good. This is where you sort of have to manage it. So you can't just say every Tuesday and Saturday Sale is going to pitch three innings. I'm just telling you that this is why you probably need multiple guys like him, which is why I say, you know what, if this is the best way to build the staff, have Sale be a guy who can go three innings twice a week. Have Whitlock be a guy who can go three innings twice a week. And then Matt Andrews. And then a guy you trade for. Now you've got four of them. And maybe Andrews pitches on those nights when you're down. Maybe Whitlock pitches on those nights where you're ahead along with Sale. And there's a hierarchy. You end up building three classes of pitchers on your staff. You have starters, you have the middle guys that we're talking about with Sale and Andrees and Whitlock, and then you have Matt Barnes at the end of the game and maybe Ottavino. And that's basically it.
And you can do it.
Yeah, I just, it's a different way of looking at it, Matt. And again, it's not different in baseball the last few years because more teams have done it. But it's different in Boston because we're not used to it.
Well, the 26-man roster makes it possible, Maz. And, you know, particularly with the way the Red Sox have constructed this roster. And, again, they're getting rid of a bench, you know, bat, a bench player in favor of another pitcher, a 14th pitcher, because they like their flexibility and the versatility that guys like Santana and Gonzalez give them. If there's a team out there capable of doing that and building their staff like that, it's the Red Sox. The rules of the game have allowed this. This would never have been possible, I mean, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Maz, when you first started covering baseball, how many pitchers did they carry on a staff? It was probably 11. I mean, I feel like 12 started around the turn of the millennium, and that was like radical. Oh my God, you're carrying 12 pitchers. At least that's my, you know, how I remember it. It's completely different now. 14 pitchers on a staff.
Oh, no, you're right. It was totally different back then because you asked more of them, and
sure,
the starters were, you know, there was more burden on the starters, and that has changed. So, look, I just want to say something to our producer, Jimmy Stewart, because I'm on remote, so Jimmy and I can't communicate, and we'll just we'll go another couple of minutes here, take a couple of calls, and then I know Matt McCarthy has some insight on Jaron Duran, who a lot of people thought might be coming up when Franchy Cordero got sent down to the minors here in the last day or so. And I told you before, Matt keeps his finger on the pulse of the minor leagues, and I don't know what he's going to tell us. So I am eager to hear about Jaron Duran as much as you are.
His spin rate is not as good as Colton Brewer. It's why he's not up. That's not my insight, but you know, that's just me being a wise ass man.
Patrick's in Quincy on Nick Pavetta. Good, Patrick.
Maz, as you know, just like the Red Sox as a whole, Nick has been a pleasant surprise, but you guys know more than I do. He's not a 6-0 starter. I watch him and I watch Richards, and I know this is kind of crazy, but I kind of think of Rick Porcello. He had one hot year here, then you guys know he stunk. Are you worried the Red Sox will give Pivetta a long-term contract too soon? Are they going to wait to make sure this guy isn't just a one-hit wonder?
No, I'm not worried about that. And honestly, I don't even know what his service time is. I'd have to go back and, you know, I'd have to look it up. But I don't think he's eligible for free agency for a couple of years.
I can't imagine. Yeah, he's not eligible until 2025, Maz.
Yeah, so they got plenty of time to figure that. I'm not the least bit worried about that. Bob's in need of Bob, quickly.
Yeah, quickly, Maz. Two things. One is, I know last year was a throwaway year because of the luxury tax thing, but it's still mind-numbing that they have still such a high salary structure, and they only have, like, three players, J.D. Martinez, Xander, and the pitcher. I mean, how are they still up around $200 million with this ragtag bunch? I mean, no marquee names at all. And the second point, Maz, you haven't met. Wait, let me just get this quick, Maz. Did you mention that Pittsburgh play last night? It was inconceivable. I've never seen a baseball play like that.
So we actually talked about it last night, Bob. For those people who haven't seen it, the game between the Pirates and the Cubs. Just Google it. You'll find it.
That's awesome.
It was an unbelievable play in the game. As to the payroll, what you're leaving out is the dead money. You're paying David Price $16 million. Chris Sale's making almost 30, and he hasn't pitched an inning yet. Don't forget Dustin Pedroia; that's another 14.
And Benintendi, you're paying him too.
Yeah, so we just gave you $65 million right there. So that's where your money is, and that's why, to a degree, Chaim Bloom is hamstrung. But they can go over the number this year, and what I want them to do is maybe use that to their advantage at the trade deadline. If they can give up less, take on a bad contract from someone, and get a pitcher that can help them, then that's what I want them to do. We'll get to Matt McCarthy's take on Jarren Duran. Apparently he's got some inside info or observation.
Yeah, I'd say observation is probably better.
Okay, so there you go. On Jarren Duran when we come back.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
From breaking news,
what are we doing?
To breaking balls.
They all move slow now, and they all just want to play softball.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here on the Baseball Hour, we've hyped the crap out of this. The idea that there's some insight or I don't want to call it a scoop, but some insight that Matt McCarthy has on Jarren Duran. I say it, I'm busting his balls. But the reality is that McCarthy does have his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the minor leagues. He's got contacts down there. What do you know?
Here's what I was told. Before the season started in the minor leagues in Worcester, I was told that Duran was ready. Or if he wasn't ready, he was very, very close to ready. And his performance in Worcester so far this year, Maz, obviously would seem to indicate that he's ready. I think he's got like, what, 7 home runs, something like that. I mean, he's been, you know, tearing the cover off the ball. So when I heard that he was ready before the start of the season, I said, okay, well, we can just kind of slow play it here. Let's see how he hits in Worcester. You never know. He hasn't played AAA ball. Well, he's on fire right now. So call him up. At this point, Maz, you need to call him up because he is one of the best three outfielders the Red Sox have in their organization right now. And I don't want to say that Jarren Duran is going to be a superstar or anything like that. I think he's more along the lines, and I love this comp from Jay Stu the other week, like a Shannon Stewart type of player. How about a Brett Gardner type of player? One of those guys.
But is that a big league outfielder? Yes, it absolutely is. And, you know, we're talking about the absence of Benintendi, who's a league average major league outfielder, and how you need a league average major league outfielder. If Jarren Duran can come up right now and be a league average hitter in the outfield, which I think he can, just based on what I heard before the season started, it's time. It's time to bring him up. They got to do it. You're likely going to have your season determined by a game or two or three, a handful of games. It's time for the Red Sox to be urgent on a player like this. Bring him up. Now's the time.
Well, so I'll tell you what. I'm happy to hear this, actually, because a lot of people were saying that they thought Duran, and I say a lot of people, fans, thought Duran was coming up when Cordero went down, and Cordero went down here in the last day. The Red Sox, again, have brought up a pitcher. Colton Brewer will take Franchy Cordero's spot on the roster. And Duran, I think, is in some... Team USA.
Yeah, he and Casas are going to represent what, in the qualifiers for the Olympics or something like that.
Yeah. So I think they're going to be slow with Duran. But it's hard to know whether a guy's ready right now because there was no minor league season last year. But from everything you understand, Duran made significant strides in the the satellite camp.
Yes, exactly. The alternate site. He was good there last year. He was good in winter ball again. You know, somebody told me that he thought Duran was ready before the season started in Worcester, and he's only certainly proven that. So he's had his at-bats in Worcester. He didn't keep Bogarts there long. They didn't keep Devers there long. Again, different players. Those guys are, you know, way more talented than Duran. Give him a shot at this point. Why the hell not? That's the way it's trending in baseball, Maz. You know this. Younger guys are coming up faster. They don't need to meet their benchmarks in AAA. If Jarren Duran is good enough for America, he's good enough for the Boston Red Sox.
So Matt, I'll tell you what. I think we're going to see him relatively soon. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, I shouldn't say that. I should say this year.
Yes.
I don't know if it's
going to
be.
We'll see him this year.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be in June, but I do think we're going to see Duran soon. In any case, again, our thanks to Matt McCarthy, who came into studio tonight while I'm on remote. So, Matt, thank you for doing that. It's a very professional maneuver. That's an old school veteran move is the term I'm looking for.
Maz, I love being here, love being on the show, and it's nicer to be in the studio. See, I have my dog barking in the background and everything. It's you can spin the takes a little bit better from this seat. Something about sitting in this Maz seat just kind of really turns you into an a-hole. You know, even though it's not the a-hole seat, I'm sitting in your seat tonight, and I can feel it washing over me. So I like the feeling. What can I say?
Oh, yeah, no, it'll make you a worse human being. There's no question about that. So here's the good news. We have the Celtics coming up tonight, pregame at 8 o'clock with Cranny and Max. The game at 8:30 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The bad news is that means you get Adam Jones for the next hour. So you'll have to endure that. And I'm sure Jones will have plenty to say as always. McCarthy's got your headlines. Everybody have a fabulous holiday weekend.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.